May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have a question. How many of you know someone right now that is a little bit difficult to love? You can raise your hands. Don't point at anybody, but you can raise your hands. You know, doesn't it seem that this past year, 2024, seemed to make more people that we find difficult to love? Have you noticed that? It's almost like crazies multiply in 2024. And you come to this time of year, normally just pretty early in the new year, we're just still in the first quarter. And this past Advent, it was this past election cycle was very, very crazy. And we have always known that there are two things that we don't discuss in polite conversations, right? Religion and politics. We've always said that, right? It means that I don't have much to talk about at parties. But, oh, there's plenty. But then ever since COVID-19, we seem to have added science to the mix. Between the maskers and the anti-maskers and the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers, what we have is this unholy trinity now of religion, politics, and science. Because anyone can read a post on Instagram, Reddit, or Facebook and collaborate with the indisputable source of Uncle Lou, who works as an accountant at a grocery store, or, to be fair, a pastor in the local church, and that person is now an expert on anything from global economics to cancer research to the mating habits of the South American dung beetle. Which, by the way, did you know that there are 7,000 different varieties of dung beetles, and they live on every continent except Antarctica? I read that online, and now I'm an expert. On a serious note, though, I recently read an article that said it will take decades for our world to recover from the effects of COVID-19, and I wonder about the long-term effect of the very divisive political campaigns in the past three election cycles. COVID-19 involved shutting down the world for a period of time, spending way too much time with some people and not spending any time with other people, right? And the election campaign involved such vitriol, and I wondered if we can ever get back to civil discourse and debate again. So we are a nation. We are a world divided, and we can add to the mix of issues that got us to this point in the world that we are so easily offended as well. People are so quick to become angry. They're quick to judge. They're quick to call foul. They're incredibly quick to be offended. You hurt me, or you wronged me, and now I'm going to cancel you because you're obviously wrong about everything in your life, and the world is rests on your shoulders, everything that's wrong in the world. What I've noticed is that you're on a continual search. If you're on a continual search to be offended, you will be offended. You'll find what you're looking for. I can promise you, if you're always looking to be hurt, if you're always looking to be offended or to be wronged or to be angry, you'll always find what you're looking for. We need to recognize that being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. It's a choice. Being offended is inevitable. Things are going to happen. Feelings will get hurt. But living offended is a choice and too often a lifestyle. A choice to live offended makes our scripture from Paul's letter to the Romans particularly difficult to swallow. Let's just recall five verses 14 through 18. Easy to read, difficult to live. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Paul wrote, bless those who persecute you. We could say, bless those who are mean to you. Bless those who are short with you. Bless those who disagree with you. He says, bless those who persecute you. What does it mean to bless? The word bless comes from the Greek word eulogio, spelled E-U-L-O-G-E-O. It's a bit like eulogy, right? We know what that is. E-U means good. Logios means word, or logos means word. Either way, they spell it. What this word, eulogio, means is a good word, or very literally, it means to speak well of someone. So imagine the difference this concept would make in our political campaign season. There'd be a whole lot of blessing, probably through clenched teeth, but blessings nonetheless. Paul gives us very specific, very direct command. In the Greek, this is called a present imperative. And what it means is that in the Greek language, you see a present imperative, which means that you are to do what you're told to do and not stop doing it. Keep on doing it. It's not a one-time action. Very literally, when Paul says, bless those who persecute you, you could translate it as saying, be a continual blessing to those who are a continual problem. Paul is saying, be a continual blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but I might be able to be a blessing to someone who's a problem for maybe 5 minutes. I mean, how about you? Where are you? It can be hard, right? If you're continually a burden to me or offensive to me at some point, I might snap. I've seen it in others. I've experienced it myself. You might want to return evil for evil, or at least bad feelings for bad feelings, which is also, Paul says, we shouldn't do. So how do we bless those who persecute us or are mean to us? Well, I know many Christians who put some type of bumper sticker on their car, and or at least the fish symbol, designated so that, you know, that they're a follower of Jesus the Christ, and that way they don't act so erratically when they're driving their car. So I've been told. I know that many people know that, you know, what that means, that fish symbol. I've actually talked with a couple of people who placed that on their car, and they believe it causes them to have restraint when somebody cuts them off or some other offense while they're driving. They don't give them the one-finger salute, or so they've told me. This morning I read or heard the news about the closing of 696, and we live quite a bit north of that. I don't know, some of you might deal with that, but oh boy, the blessings will abound, we hope, on 696. I remember when it didn't exist, you too. I don't recommend that. Paul has some other ideas that we should follow that I think we'll find helpful. We need to go to the beginning of the beginning of our passage for this morning, in the chapter of this letter, where verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now we talked about the scripture last week as a living sacrifice. It's interesting because it seems to be contradiction in terms. But the truth is, Paul is calling us to make a sacrifice in loving those who persecute us, who are mean to us, sacrifice our ego, our pride, our desire to be vindicated or self-righteous. We don't know what's going on in the head of the person who cuts us off in traffic or says something offensive to us. They could have just been fired from a job or experienced some other type of loss, and they just can't fully focus on their driving. And we could always say, well, then they shouldn't be driving, but when you're fired, you got to go home sometime. My point is, don't be judgmental of others. Sacrifice your human desire to lash out or attempt revenge upon that person. So how do we love others, especially when we find them difficult to love? We lay down our natural responses. We lay down our selfish desires. We die to ourselves so that Christ can love through us. Paul said this said it in this way in Galatians 2:20, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now have in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So when we look at Paul's words in the Roman passage for today, as I said, easily read but not easily lived, and that's the point I'm making. We might read these words of Paul and say, I can't do that. I just don't have it in me to do that. And you'd be right to say that, because you don't have it in you to live and love in this way. But you can have Christ in you, who lives in you so that you can live peaceably with others, to recognize that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. In view of what God has done, I let Christ live through me. And Paul goes on to say in verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. There are no experts because of the internet. Where do you think Paul got those ideas of living more loving lives from? From the one who lived in him. From the one who lived in him and can live in each and every one of us, Jesus. Jesus, toward the end of his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, said, you have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have for that? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not by being right will you be known as Jesus' disciples. Not by making some cutting and witting remarks about others will people know that you're a follower of Christ. Not by putting down others will people know that you are a follower of Jesus the Christ. Know that you are one of Jesus' disciples. It's by our love that the world will know that we are Jesus' disciple. Remember, being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. And we are to return our offense with love. Jesus said, and I believe deep in our hearts, we know we are to love, even our enemies. And this is why the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in a sermon in Montgomery, Alabama, he said, far from being an impractical idealist, Jesus has become the practical realist. The words of this text glitters in our eye with new urgency. Far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, this command is an absolute necessity for the survival of our civilization. Yes, it is love that will save our world and our civilization, love even for enemies. End quote. As we are focusing on trying to find peace, as we did it this past Advent, and as it's spilling over into this year, friends, let us remember that Paul wrote, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, not as it depends on others, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is important, if possible, so far as it depends on you, Paul says. And I believe that Paul is encouraging us as this is important, if possible. We're going to fail sometimes. We're going to be offended at times. And we're always going to try to live peaceably, and that peace begins with our love for all. And clearly that love comes from Christ living within us. That is why each and every time we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we proclaim it to be the birth of the Prince of Peace each and every year. And when we seek to always love, there is not space of hatred in our lives, our relationships, our community, our world, our nation. As the song goes, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. I began this conclusion of this message with an earlier quote by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and I want to end it with another quote. King once said, quote, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is just too great a burden to bear," end quote. And that is the word of God for the people of God this morning at Central United Methodist Church. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.